had a thought while we were praying. I was like, oh, I should write that down before we start. And it's just not coming back.
Is it about gambling?
Yes, about gambling.
Sorry, I tried to help. Yeah. I tried to help.
The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk podcast.
It'll come back to me. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, okay, for you guys that are joining us live, you watch Steve throughout the course of this event, because Steve is the biggest fidget at the table usually, because Dave's not here anymore, and he will fiddle with the clips and all the rest of it. And so, yeah, later that is that's what you get to hear in the podcast. So.
Oh, last week I'd knocking Nathaniel's iPad several times.
Yeah, just trying to move, not even talking. Smash.
But to avoid the fidgeting, I don't know if you guys can see that over there. There's a chess piece off the table that's behind us, and we've given him a name. So that's Gwaine. And Gwaine is...
I definitely need a more tactile thing because he gets very boring.
He does. He doesn't. Nothing moves.
I have a stapler at work.
Yeah.
And obviously the stapler can open. Yeah. And then it moves as well. And then like the top rubber bit pulls off it. And then the base plate spins. It's the best thing ever. I played it for like an hour during the meeting. And everyone's like, you love it. They don't. Yeah. Like, no, I'm just bored. I need help.
When I was still doing school... I used to get into trouble on a regular basis for disassembling pens. And like the more complex the pen,
the better.
Yeah. You know, and I would just take as much of it apart as humanly possible and put it all back together and just do it over and over again.
Yeah.
But the thing would be like if I mean, I don't know if you experience this, but I do get distracted. And so like it'll be like in pieces. It'll be mum's pen, you know, because I'm homeschooled. And then I'd go and do something else. And then it'd be like, Luke. Why is my pen in pieces again? Sorry about that. Oh, sorry.
See, just improving the spring rate of when it opens and closes.
Yeah, you had the nerve guns.
You make a stronger spring in there. It's the bend of the other room.
Well, on that point, I'm just going to call this episode started, seeing we're already this far in. I think the vibe's good, so let's just run with it.
Let's go run with it. Yeah.
So, for the people that are listening, we probably should tell them what we're going to talk about, and it's got nothing to do with pens or fidget spinners.
No.
Disappointing.
So, but we're actually talking about gambling, and this was your suggestion, yes. Matt. So, do you want to tell us why?
It's one of those things where there's so many areas that could be considered gambling, or especially growing up, it was like, oh, you know, you shouldn't do that, or you know, you can't do this because that's associated with gambling, or you know, you can't use you know, your pokies, but you can go play a slot machine, or you know, there's all these certain things. You know, little slot machines, like your Tetris things, you know how you can play them and you win a prize.
Oh, I would call that
an arcade game, right?
A slot machine. I'm like, ching ching.
So you've got these games of that. So you can put money in it. And I thought, well, they're pretty similar things. And there's all these grey areas when it comes to gambling. Like, you know, Nana always used to buy scratchy tickets and, you know, all that type of thing. And used to have fun as kids doing that, but would never be allowed to buy them. So it's like, oh. Well, let's talk about it.
If
is it actually a sin?
Money, it's fine.
As long as you're not gambling. As long as you're not gambling with your own money.
Yeah, but you can use a gumball machine because you should get some food from it. But yeah, I guess, is there any biblical things that come to mind? Obviously, because we want to, you know... try and
sure, but before we get into that though, I have an open loop in my head. What
Steve,
Steve's enjoying this before he's even said anything. How would you even define gambling? What is it?
It's risking something, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm asking. So it's risking something.
Relationship to gambling.
Yeah, well, what I
gambling.
What isn't a risk though, right?
Yeah.
So if gambling is defined by risk, you take a risk every time you drive somewhere. If you start a new business, you know, 80% of new businesses fail in the first, you know, 2 years, 3 years, or whatever that stat is. That is obviously a huge risk. You purchase a house, get a mortgage, you know, you're in the hole for six figures of you know, over long periods of time. If none of that, is that gambling?
Well, we actually use the expression, don't we? Oh, look, I'm just going to take a gamble on this.
And
I'm going to risk, I don't know, $100,000 to start up this business or something. Let's just, you know, go for it. So we do use that term of phrase.
I think in some regards it is. It's like, I think if you're trying to define it, you just say it's investing in something with a low to impossible odds of a return that's equal to or greater than the amount that you've put in to it. So like a business would be a gamble if you had done your probably due diligence and you're just like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah.
And you just throw like 20K at it and then it falls on its face because 80% of businesses fail. You're like, oh, well, that didn't pay off. But like you hadn't, like you weren't putting the work in.
So I think there's three things that, that turn it into being gambling. I would say... let's see if I can remember them because I was thinking of them while you were talking. So let's hope my brain can bring them all back. Number one is what you were saying in that it is something that is disproportionately unlikely that you will get the a reward that is higher than your investment. Number two, it would be something that in which you have no agency, so you can't affect the outcome. And three would be that the motive is, I'd say the motive is not pure in the sense that it's like you're trying to get lazy money. You know, you are putting something in, trying to get something that you didn't earn.
Yeah.
So I would say those three things have to be present for it to be gambling. Because if it's just the risk aspect, then
there's everything's gambling.
Everything's gambling. If it doesn't take into consideration the motive. Maybe we can get into this a little bit, but I can think of a few examples of times where someone might do something that looks and feels like a gamble, but they're doing it for a good motive that, in my mind at least, could be acceptable. And the agency aspect, the ability to affect the outcome, I think that's probably one of the big ones. Because if you can affect the outcome, the business is the key example of that, right? Like, there is no way I would invest, you know, like, okay, I started a new business almost 2 years ago. There is no way I would have given the last 2 years of my life for something that I couldn't affect the outcome of. So that is what changes the ratio in my head. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. So, what about some specific examples then? Okay. So, we've defined like some of the undergirding rules, but what are some specific examples of things that people may or may not call gambling that are in that space? Like, I think there's the obvious things, right? There's like casinos where people are you know, rolling the dice, so to speak, in a number of different ways, whatever game they may be playing.
But I guess the question I'm asking then is it okay for a form of entertainment then if we are only putting in a certain amount? Like, let's cap ourselves here. It's like, I'm going to leave myself $50 to have a bit of fun. I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm not hurting anyone.
So they're considering it a sunk cost.
Yeah.
It's pay to play. You know, I'm going to lose $50.
You know, I go temping bowling. I don't get anything out of it. You know, I get a bit of enjoyment out of it and everything else, but I can get that from going to the pokies or something like that. Well, not me personally. Sorry. But I can see why it appeals to people. So in that regard, as long as they're not using all their income or anything like that, could it be just considered a form of entertainment? But I guess then you'd be thinking, oh, well, it's not maybe considered as wholesome entertainment.
Or good stewardship. I think being holistic in our approach is helpful in that gambling in itself, you might say, well, you know, it's addictive in nature, and then that's another facet that's negative. But even if you're not bent to that, so it's not one of your failings like alcoholism or something that you're like genetically or just your character's predisposed to falling for. If you can just go, okay, I'm going to go spend $50 at the casino, and that's something that you can do without having an adverse effect, it still may be failing in another area like stewardship. Because what could you have done with that $50? Could you have, you know, given it to someone else? Could you have invested that more wisely and gotten better return?
Unfortunately, I think that argument is harder or easier depending on how much value we're talking about as well, right? Because if you go and eat somewhere at a nice restaurant, we wouldn't think of that as a poor use of someone's money. but it could cost depends more than 50 bucks,
depends
right?
Depends how often you do it.
That's true. That's true. And so then are you saying gambling's okay sometimes if you're going at it with that sort of a viewpoint?
No, but I'm saying is that...
I agree with you, by the way. I can see the look on your face that I'm like, I'm not like
really, man? Really?
Stop making me think, man.
I know. Well, like I've got other things in this category too, right? Like my agency statement, like, you know, you need agency in order for it not to be gambling. What about games that have a degree of skill attached to them? Like we're talking before about poker.
Poker, right? Yeah, that's right.
It's not pure chance.
No, there is strategy behind it. I guess there is also... a form of, I was going to say bluffing, but it's deception in a way.
Yeah.
Oh, another moral short.
I really enjoyed, I have played poker before, not for money, but with friends. And
as a card game, yeah.
It's real, I actually enjoyed it. I mean, I don't necessarily pick it up now sometimes, but it was an enjoyable game to play. And it's like, but then again, now thinking about it, well, I'm not playing for money or anything else, but then I'm still trying to deceive the other players so they don't know what hand I'm holding.
Mm.
So in itself, is that good stewardship or is it?
I think that's completely outside. I think that's outside of stewardship. I think that comes down to how you feel about deception and whether it can be engaged in
fine honing my deception.
Which is not a skill I want to have.
But yeah, and there's lots of, but then there's Solitaire. I don't know how that's played. That's another game that's quite popular as well. Playing cards? Is it the same thing?
Well, playing cards is the thing, and then you do other games.
Because you've got, you got what? Poker. What else have you got, like, you can play that are popular games? But also.
Snap.
You know.
But is there any other card games that involve money?
Oh, probably. Like, yeah. I'm just not Monopoly. A gambler to know.
Sorry?
Monopoly.
I've got my own problems with Monopoly, okay? The friend ender.
So yeah, like, Monopoly is a bad game.
Yeah, it was invented by evil people. It was actually invented to teach kids about economics, wasn't it? Like, wasn't that the original intention?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
It's not good for that.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's like, let go of your brother. No! Yeah. He took my house. Yeah, so... the question that I guess we would then come, I want to come back to things that would be gambling and some that aren't, right? I have spoken to some people that believe very strongly that any investment in the stock market is gambling. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think that ticks a couple of your boxes. Mm-hmm. Like, a way that, like, you can't really affect the change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and this is coming from no experience at all, so take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But... from watching other friends investing in specifically cryptos and things like that.
Yeah, crypto is a good example.
Being very, very volatile, I think it is a bit of luck of the draw. And, you know, they enjoy, you know, a bit like what Dorothy's saying, like they enjoy chucking 50 bucks in there, watching the numbers, pulling it out when it's high, you know, investing when it's low, those kind of things. But I've got a mate who made thousands of dollars, but then lost it overnight. Yep. So he didn't actually lose money that he hadn't worked for. So, like, he threw, like, $1,000 in there.
His winnings, basically.
But then he, so he was, like, net zero. But, you know, he could, if he'd pulled out when it was high, he would have had, like, 20 grand.
Yeah.
So, having said all of that, I think that that's kind of missed the point in that that used to be a way to support a company and, like, in a vision that you believed in, share in their profits, have
own
a
bit
in
of that
their,
company.
Yep. Yeah. Rather, nowadays, it's more of just a, you know... I don't like you've got no say. I don't think you get a bit of their percentage depending on the company you're
well,
in.
Well, if it pays dividends,
yeah, but I don't know.
Could you argue if you work at it, you could become good at it? So if you're investing all that time in it, and they do, like, is that okay then?
I would argue that it depends on the kind of investing that you partake in, right? Like in my perspective. Things like crypto, like, I'm not going to condemn anyone for doing it, but while it's still so early in its development and it's so volatile, I don't think it's really feasible for anyone to properly understand it. So it really is a roll of the dice. Whereas if you approach it more like Warren Buffett, right? If you approach it from the perspective of, I'm going to value invest, I'm going to look for a company that is doing really good things. And I believe that it's worth more than the stock price. And if you can find that, well, then that's a good investment. That's the same way that you invest in a house. You know, if you're going to buy a house, you buy something that is cheap on the market that is worth more than what it is. And if you can like make a value argument for it, and then you buy it and you hold it and you watch it appreciate over time, which by the way is what happens. And that's why people invest in things like index funds, you know, where you're investing in like an even split across the whole market, and basically all you're betting on is that the pie itself will get larger. You know, I think those kind of things are safe enough that you could have it as somewhat of an analog of property prices or something like that, where I don't see how you could class that as gambling. But if you were day trading or doing speculative work or whatever, yeah, for sure. I don't see how you could do that reliably.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess if you guys have got other examples that you want to talk through, I'm cool with that. But I want to. There's a piece of the puzzle here that I'm curious about, and that is, I think you said stewardship before, and so I think that's a piece of the puzzle. But I think the deeper thing is motive. Like, why? What are the reasons? Or what are the reasons that people gamble? And are there any acceptable ones?
It's a bit of like escapism, maybe.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Distract themselves from the life that's around them by hopefully getting a better life out of it.
Yeah.
So is there anything wrong with escapism in itself?
No, I'm just curious, because we all may have different forms of, let's say, escapism, but we just, you know, we're not going out and gambling or anything, you know? Like, is there anything wrong with that?
Is there anything wrong with this?
Because we're investing, so some people don't invest a lot of money in it, but.
Yeah, but you're avoiding a problem.
Mm.
That's the definition. So fix the problem, move on. Problem solved.
Yeah. I think. See, this is a challenging question. We've got an episode on this, and we should circle back and do another episode on this. But I think that escapism again comes back to why you're escaping and what you're escaping from. But that's a whole other thing. Motives for gambling. Escape could be one. Lazy money, like I mentioned earlier, so like the desire to disproportionately profit without having earned it.
I guess it could be argued for a bit of socializing. So you can go to the club, meet up with meet up with your friends. You just, I'm just going to spend $50 just to have a bit of fun, socialize.
Yep. I can understand that with like a game, but not the pokies. Like I said, like if you, like fair enough, like you'll chip in $50 and play around a poker. I can logically understand that. And like you're saying, like footy tipping, like.
I mean, that
might be an interesting one, because that's something that, like, I'm not into footy, so that kind of helps me.
I'm not overly into footy either, but it's something that
it's a community every
Monday,
thing.
Monday morning, they're talking about it at work, and I'm just like, oh well, busy about my work.
And I've never done it, and that's purely because of my upbringing, and that's the idea. It is a gambling, you shouldn't muck with it, because if you have a taste for it, you'll just keep going.
I think it is a bit of money. Like I think they end up, $50 or $100 Right. Like it's a fair bit of money that they end up putting into it,
and it's not a huge outlay. Well, at least from what they're saying, it's like two. Like sometimes it can be only like $2.
Yeah, I don't know. The one at our office sounds like it's a bit more than that.
Okay.
Because I think they walk away with like $200-$300 if you win. Like, it's a fair bit.
Wow. So. Yeah. Easy money. Always.
The social aspect is there. But I don't fully understand.
What about philanthropy? What if that's your motivation?
Your motive?
Yeah. Okay.
How could you justify that?
Let me lay this out a little bit better. Let's say that there's a kid that is, running a raffle to raise money for his favorite charity or something like that. A raffle is technically gambling, because there's a much better chance of you not getting anything than there is having something out of it. You have no agency in the matter, and you're paying money to achieve it. But you're doing it because the person that is selling it to you is selling the cause, right? The cause that's behind it.
Cure for cancer or whatever it needs to be. Yeah.
I have purchased such raffle tickets. And I at no point did I ever feel like I was gambling.
I think because the stakes are a lot lower there too, and it doesn't have the addictive nature. I think that's another thing we haven't talked a whole lot.
That's a good point.
Skirted around a little bit is the there's a good quote from Lewis. You know.
Yeah, here he
comes.
Surprise!
Surprise! Surprise! I'll have to find it. So this is from Mere Christianity. He says, I almost read the whole quote, but you got the gist. No man, I suppose, is tempted to every sin. It so happens that the impulse which makes men gamble has been left out of my makeup, and no doubt I pay for this by lacking some good impulse, of which it is the excess or perversion. I therefore did not feel myself qualified to give advice about permissible and impermissible gambling. So, but he's a few other things. But I think it's very interesting there that... and I like the way Lewis says, like, that every perversion or every bad thing is a perversion of a good thing. Sorry, I didn't say that amazingly, but every bad thing is a perversion of a good thing. I'm very risk averse. And like we've talked about with business and other things like that, that for me, I'm very much like, I don't, like, I can't see it working. So I just won't even like take the chance. Rather, you're the opposite. You're like, you don't take bad risks, but you're far more comfortable in the unknown space than I would be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a good non-perverted, like, you know,
usage of
gambling,
that,
So
that's interesting.
I think personality plays a big part in it, but I don't even know really what it is, because I mean, for me, gambling doesn't make a lot of sense. So it's not something I've ever been addicted to. But like, I've spent more time than I should have during uni playing games and things like that. And that kind of like, we play War Thunder. Like,
yeah,
that,
we play that all the time. That's
that
right.
kind
yeah.
of
all the time. Yeah. when we get time. Sorry, once when a we month. Get time.
But like that kind of is a like it's not gambling, but it kind of is in the sense that you're investing large amounts of time for very little reward, and the game's designed in such a way that you're like you're entrenched in having to put time into progress
or you pay
or money so
and obviously we don't pay because we're not gonna waste time we just waste time on
it. Isn't that a funny thing? It's like, I am not wasting my money on this. I will instead spend 6 hours trying to do it without having to spend the money.
But
now I can argue the point that everyone else argues about gambling. It's a social thing, okay? I can have a chat with Steve, say g'day. And it is, because I don't think I would. Well, not these days, maybe when I was younger, but these days I only do it just to catch up with people and talk to them online. If they weren't online, I wouldn't be playing.
And a lot
games.
Of people, I'm sure, say the same thing about the...
It's just no gambling. Interest in me.
So, okay, so here's another thing that we haven't talked about yet, because I want to talk more about the addiction component as well. But I think why, like, okay, so let's just make the assumption, okay, you could make the social case for it, or you could make the entertainment case for it, where hey, it's a fixed amount, so the way, from my perspective, I'm paying $50 to play a game. You can, let's just say, for the sake of argument, you can make those arguments and they are sound. If that is the case, then how
did it run away? It ran away.
I was so clear in my head.
It was coming out very clear.
It was a confidence.
It was a confidence. I was believing
it.
Bluster.
He was. He was bluffing us.
I could have cut him out, but that's the spirit, bro. What you're saying, and then you just like left us hanging.
Yeah, I know. I left myself hanging. My brain just like went to fudge. Okay, so. All right, so we were justifying that. Oh, that's right. Okay, so what if we were then looking at it from the perspective of, even if you could make that case for it, is there still enough reason for you to not do it? And my argument would be yes. And the reason that I would give is that there are plenty of people who have gambling problems. And if I excuse it for myself as someone who does not experience those problems, that is one more reason for those people to justify their involvement. And while I'm not responsible for them, I still feel like I would make the world a better place by making it easier for people that have addictive behavior issues to not struggle with those things, right? If I was the one that was doing that, that would just be one more reason for them to be there. Yeah, and I see alcohol as being the same thing. Like, you know,
Social drinking.
Yeah, yeah. People make the case for social drinking, or, you know, I'm only having a little bit, or I'm just going out with friends and, you know, whatever it might be. If I would make the same argument, there are so many people that struggle with alcohol. Why would I make their lives any harder by being that reason for them to drink, you know? Yeah. Even though it's not my responsibility to do that, I would prefer to do that.
You necessarily don't have that addiction or predisposition to have that addiction to that particular substance or gambling.
I got my own problems. I got plenty of other ones to deal with, even if it's not that one.
I mean, I know it's a high bar, but just in when you're saying that, it just made me think of Paul writing to Philippians saying, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Like, with all of these issues, we can try and justify, and I was talking about my teens on, actually. I put a list of things up on the board, and I said, what's most likely to make you walk away from God? And I had, like, hypocritical leaders, justification of sins, boredom, just like in the church. I think there's another one, but they all put like hypocritical leaders down.
Yeah.
And like I put that down to their teenage years.
Teenage angst.
Caring about everyone's opinion and needing that leadership and mentorship. And like I spoke to them about that and said, like, that's cool. But I think justifying your sins is a very easy way to start going down the slippery slope. And you can justify some things, like you can justify most things if you sit down and think about it long enough.
Yeah.
But it's not, can I justify it? Should I even be trying? Like, what's good about gambling that I should be investing my time and money into?
Yep.
What's good about drinking? What's good about playing games online? What's good about anything? Like, and for me, I come up short. I'm like, what's the benefit? Like, even if it's social, I'm like, go to the park and throw the footy around. Like, that's exercise. That's, you know, that's ticking all your boxes.
Sunlight, all the other good things. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. So, can I ask a question that's going to make all of us really uncomfortable?
Yes.
You're going to do it anyway.
Yeah,
we can't escape.
Captive audience.
See, we're closer to the door than he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what about casting lots in scripture?
Yeah, that's right.
So
Achan.
Yeah. So, yeah, Achan for a start. What about and the selection of Matthias in place of Judas in the New Testament?
That's the annoying one to me because...
that's the annoying one. How dare the New Testament include that?
Literally, because it's like... Achan, you can be like, well, that's just where they're at. That's just a cultural thing. God was working with them. But then Matthias, you're like, bro...
Jesus had already been and done.
The Holy Spirit, man.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with that tool? It's just depending how it's used.
Is it gambling, though? Like,
it's randomization.
Yeah, it is. I'd argue that's more spiritualistic than gambling, though, in the sense that...
Oh, I didn't think of it that way.
Like, what's the... Like, and we're actually talking to, I think, was it James and Ore? About being presumptuous of God. So that may be an interesting thing we could tie into this a bit, just along the lines of when we ask God for stuff, should we be more presumptuous, or is being presumptuous of God a sin in our prayers? But like in casting the lots, are they just going, well, we don't know the answer. We've been praying for it. So like
God picks, so to speak.
They're both good options.
But can we use that then? It's just like, oh, you know, I don't know if I should do this, God. What should I do? Just a flip a coin. Oh, God's answered.
I think this is purely personal opinion. Yeah, I'll just say that.
I'm interested.
In that scenario, if they're both perfectly good options, there's nothing wrong with either of them. Then yeah, why not? Would be my opinion.
And that is what I was going to say about Matthias, right?
Yeah.
What did they do before they cast the lots? They prayed and they set aside Barsabas and Matthias as the two options, and then they rolled the dice for them.
Yeah, so they'd done their critical analysis.
That's right. They'd done the analysis. They had already come to the conclusion that both of these people met the criteria to be apostles, and now which one is
Yeah.
We're 50-50 on it. And so, like, let's cast lots.
If they had coins, they would have flipped them. No.
Yeah. I've still never seen that in a nominating committee meeting. A friend of mine actually asked for that in a nominating committee meeting. It's like, right, first one he was in is, all right, where are the lots? Like, let's do it. He said, you should have seen the look on the faces of the people.
It would I guess, make decisions maybe not a lot easier, but very more decisive.
What kind of takes the, especially if you had like a hung, like that's why boards don't have an even number of people on them, so you can't have a hung vote. But like in nominating committee, if you have, the problem with nominating committee nowadays is that, this is a tangent also.
Kidding.
We don't have enough options to flip the coin on. It's just like, you'll do. You don't even meet the standards, but you'll do. Anyway, that's
another problem altogether. Yes. Yeah, remind me to tell you something about that after we finish recording.
Anyway. Ours hasn't started yet.
Yeah. Coming back a little bit. Let's talk about the gambling itself, right? On the addiction part of it, I think that is probably one of the things that the most telling of the damage that it does, right? You know, you think of most things that create addictions, and usually that says something about the motivation or what it provides to the person, you know. And I don't know how much exposure you guys have had to people who have gambling addiction, but like there's one guy that I know personally who he just, no matter what he got in life, he just could never keep it because he just could not keep himself away from gambling. No way, not a hope. And I have so much compassion for him because it's a real legitimate sickness that there is to deal with. But what it is about that, I don't understand fully, but that risk to reward ratio thing, that self deception of, oh, but I think it'll be different next time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that is so deceptive. My point is, isn't that so much like every other sin, right? Mm. Like when we get tempted to do something wrong, you think of whatever your pet sins are.
Yeah.
When you're getting close to that temptation, don't you naturally go, it'll be different this time? Or I'll manage it this time. Or, you know, fill in the blank, whatever. I don't even care what it is.
I'll just manage it the same way I did last time. That worked.
Yeah, right. Failed completely. That's right. You know. But it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's just put into a different box, which I think is interesting.
Hmm.
So from your perspective, I mean, I'd love to be able to say, oh, you know, here's a great solution. But I think just generally the story that we're telling here, and, you know, in scripture, I can't think of any other real specific examples aside from the, you know, messages about stewardship and that we should be, you know, careful what we do with our resources and our time. You know, I think they are fairly clear, and we can use those principles to say, well, we shouldn't be getting wrapped up in it. But outside of that, can you guys think of any other examples, particularly in scripture, but anything worthy of sharing around the topic?
No, anything that comes to mind is Jonah, but that, yeah.
Jonah?
When they cast lots to see who was the one.
Oh, see who was the, but again, that's more like the divination thing that Steve was talking about before.
That's
the
only other one that springs to mind for some reason.
So, yeah, and I think there is also an element of, there's a weird part of us that we like to give up control sometimes, and the randomness of gambling, it puts us in a position where we're not in control, right? We're at the mercy of something else, and I don't know. Sometimes we choose that. My grandfather, he used to carry a coin, like a special coin, with him, and he'd use that as a way to make decisions. And it's like, all right, am I going to do this? I'm going to do that.
And flip it for the decision.
Yeah, flip. He would use it like a, you know, ChatGPT for the day. You know, it's kind of like, I do this or buy that? Well, I'll flip a coin. And at some point, I'd have to ask my mum to like see if I'm getting all the details of this right. But at some point of his life, someone said to him, you know, don't you think it's a little bit silly letting a piece of metal make all of the important decisions of your life? And that kind of stuck with him. It's like, oh, hang on a second. God gave me a brain and I'm abdicating my responsibility by not using it.
Yeah. I think for me, it'd be more of a tell of what I actually wanted to do or what I knew I should be doing. Like, if, like if you agree to that, you'd just be like, oh, sweet. But if you disagree with it, you'd be like, oh, I really... And you'd be like, oh, well, that's what I actually want to do.
Yeah, that's using it like a, then it's a diagnostic tool.
Yeah. It's not like telling me what to do. It's telling me what I like actually want to do.
Yeah.
Like, darn it. I didn't want the cauliflower bites.
Well, let's start wrapping this one up. Look, I just, what I will say is, you know, it is just like every other addiction. It is a real thing. And for anyone out there that does struggle with it, it's something that does need to be dealt with. And if you do struggle with it, there's typically nothing that you're going to be able to do by yourself without getting help. So please look for that help if you do need it. But as for our discussion, I think we've wrapped it up. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next week for the next episode. See ya.
And say goodbye to our...
Thanks for joining us, Jess.
Thank you.
And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/oztabletalk, and you can give anything from even a dollar a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.